Clippers are 2-0 trying to win it here. Love! Got it!
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Is that great basketball or what? What a great win for Minnesota.
Yes, it was, and I can't believe it because I've been so excited about hockey season. And then the Timberwolves come back into my life. Ricky Rubio, Kevin Love. I haven't been this excited about the Timberwolves since their inaugural season when I was working for the Minnesota Daily. Got to interview some of the people involved with the organization for an article I was writing. Got to hang out on the baseline for one of the games at the Metrodome. Remember when they played the Metrodome set attendance records? Now, I know Kevin Garnett's a great player, and he took the Wolves to the Western Conference Finals. But I just don't remember there ever being that level of excitement like there is with this year's version of the Timberwolves. And here to help me through that excitement is Derek James, who's the basketball writer for 612 Sports. Or do you prefer 612 Sports?
I say 612.
I always get confused because I write the Vikings articles for the same website, and sometimes I get mixed up when I tell people who I write for.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Derek's work for 612 Sports, he is notorious for his guarded optimism. Anything having to do with the Timberwolves, do you share with a 7-8 start right now? Do you share that cautious optimism?
I'm still cautious. I'm starting to come around, I think, and starting to let myself get my hopes up. I mean, I think there's just something different about this team. And I mean, I think from top to bottom with all the changes, I think it does definitely seem different. So starting to get my hopes up a little bit.
How much of that's coaching?
Oh, I think the leadership is absolutely huge. I heard a lot of things about the previous regime, the Rambis era, that, you know, there's a lot of ego, and that kind of got in the way, and I think that eventually the players, they just kind of tuned that out, but it seems everyone's already bought into Rambis' system. And, I mean, this is the same team that was, what, 27th, 29th in defensive efficiency, and they're now 9th in defensive efficiency this year.
It's funny you mention that, because after the game last night, Kevin Love, when interviewed about the Timberwolves' ability to come back from games, he said that usually last year when they got down by 10 in the fourth quarter, he used the word imploded.
Yeah, that's a pretty good word. I think we saw that several times last year, especially around this time, and this is kind of also why I was a little, I didn't want to buy in too much into this streak, but yeah, 7-8, that's pretty legit. And now, you know, they haven't imploded. They played some good teams. They did it last year, but now it seems like they're taking a couple of these.
One of the amazing things about watching a game on ESPN as opposed to Fox Sports North is that the announcers, Hubie Brown and Dan Shulman, they seemed rather surprised by the way the Timberwolves played, because that game pretty much was the same formula as all their other games, where they'd struggle early and they'd have to come back late in games. But they did again. This team has an amazing amount of resiliency.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, the Timberwolves, they make it hard on themselves sometimes. That's kind of been their MO the past couple of years, and I don't know, it's nice to actually see them actually come back all the way and get some of these.
It's kind of tiring, though, having to endure all these comebacks every game. It's exciting, but it's tiring. It's like a roller coaster.
It's exhausting just to watch and follow.
Almost turned it off last night when they got down by double digits in the fourth quarter, thinking it's national TV, it's the Clippers, Lob City, here we go again, national TV ambush, kind of like the Vikings, where they just play terrible in front of a nationwide audience.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that with this team.
No, I'm glad I didn't.
I almost had two a couple times, and then I look at the score, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, you better tune in and, you know, stay with it.
Trying to figure out a perfect comparison to the KG era teams. They made the playoffs 8 years in a row. 2004 Western Finals team, but they were good teams. I just don't remember there being that kind of an excitement, that kind of a vibe that you get like you do with this year's team, Rubio and Love. Try to help me refresh my memory. Is this similar in any way to the KG era Wolves from a decade ago, or is this something new?
As far as this vibe is completely different. I mean, as Minnesota fans are kind of fair weather, I don't want to say fair weather, but, you know, they'll follow the hot team. They won't just show up, though, just to boo a loser like a New York will. But, yeah, the buzz now is just incredible. People have to be at the games. They have to see Rubio, and they know Love is an all-star. But Rubio, I mean, he's the YouTube videos, and then he translates that onto the court in the NBA. I mean, you do have to see that live. It's incredible.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm a big hockey guy, and the NBA really turned me off a few years ago with the brawl, Pacers and the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still into hockey, but I find that this Timberwolves team, and to an extent, the landscape of the NBA, it's drawing me back into basketball. I didn't expect that to happen.
You know, it's a really likable time in the league right after that. They did a great job. You know, I mean, I think the players are very likable, the superstars, and David Stern. I think he's actually done a pretty good job cleaning up the image, you know, with the dress code and some of the other things, just to try and, you know, change the culture and the perception in the public.
It's always funny to look at the bench during the games on TV and the players, how they all look like assistant coaches.
Yeah.
You see Beasley in, it was a couple games ago at Target Center, and he didn't have a tie on, but he had this blazer with some emblem on it, like a crest, looked like a country club blazer.
No, I didn't see that.
Got to try to find a picture of that. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Did you catch Martell Webster's mohawk and whatever that was he was wearing?
Yeah, that doesn't go with business casual.
That was pretty reprehensible.
No, not everybody's cooperating as much as they should with the right look, I guess. But moving on to the Northwest Division, top to bottom, looks like the best division in the NBA this year. And the Wolves are 7-8 right now. How do you think they're going to fare with a whole slew of division games left on their schedule?
You know, that's the thing. I think I looked at the schedule earlier, and they have Utah tonight, and then February 20th is the next divisional game after that against Denver, in Denver. So it's few and far between. I don't know. It's a really tough division, though. I'd say the Southwest is kind of close, but every other team but the Wolves in the Northwest is at 600 or better. So it's going to be interesting to watch how that shakes out.
Yeah, and the Wolves are by far the best of the last-place teams in all six of the divisions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look over where they'd be in the Eastern divisions, and they'd be third place, almost second place in just about any of them.
I know you're probably going to say center, but what piece of the puzzle is missing for the Timberwolves to leapfrog some teams in the division and maybe at some point, not this year, but next year or the year after that, be able to challenge Oklahoma City? You still going with center?
Yeah, and maybe sheer talent. I mean, Kevin Durant's incredible, but yeah, I think you really need just a serviceable, consistent NBA center, and I just don't see that on that Wolves roster. I mean, they do get contributions on a night-to-night basis, but you never consistently say, we're going to get this from this guy. It's, oh, great, Pekovic stepped up, or, oh, thank God Randolph's here. Oh, Darko, you know, that's a pleasant surprise. I mean, you just never know what you're going to get from these guys. It's kind of like a grab bag on a night-to-night basis.
You know, when Brad Miller comes back, they're going to do something that a lot of teams have done, even championship-caliber teams, the three-headed center monster. You get all three of them in the mix. You got 18 fouls to work with, so at least you can body guys down low, give them about 15 minutes a game. That could conceivably be something doable, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with, like, the rest of the personnel and where the offense comes from, that'd be I could see that working.
At least short-term, I'm assuming at some point they're going to want to try to get big-name center?
Yeah, I don't know where that was coming from, actually, before I called in. I was just looking at the free agents next year, and, you know, it goes right from Dwight Howard and then, you know, Andrew Bynum. You know, he has a team option for next year, which they'll no doubt pick up. And it goes from completely unrealistic to kind of gross. There's not a lot out there free agency-wise, and unless they get a steal in the draft, I mean, they might have to just make do with what they have and maybe work on that three-headed approach that you were just talking about.
Uh-huh. Of the 12 guys currently on the roster, how many do you think are building blocks for the future? I know we have Rubio and Love. You're going to be building around those guys. But how many of the guys on the roster right now are guys that you can build with, and how many are just filling space until we find someone better?
Oh, just filling space. Oh, man. You know, I like Derek Williams a lot. I think that he definitely has a future. I think he's a more efficient Michael Beasley and what we envision that he could be. And actually, speaking of Beasley, I don't think Beasley's a lost cause. I think that he's a very talented player. He's a young player. So I think he has room to grow and iron out some of those flaws in his game yet. But we'll see if he can do that and stay, you know, focused on that.
Beasley's a 20-8 guy. I mean, he's a bit of a flake, but he's still a 20-8 guy. You're not going to find a lot of those.
No, absolutely no. That's tough to do. And he's one of the few guys who can create his own shot. When him and Barea were out against, I believe it was New Orleans, you know, they were struggling for guys who could get their shot off, and it was really hard to come back in that game when they probably shouldn't have been down in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Who on the roster is pretty much gone after the season, or deserves to be anyway?
Oh, you know, I'm honestly not sure what they'll do with Wes Johnson. I mean,
what is this, his third year?
In a good way. This is his second year, but he's just fallen off so much. I mean, he's shooting 34% from the floor, 22% from three, 50% from the free throw line.
I've noticed he does a lot better when he's not relying on his jumpers. When he's driving the lane, he performs quite a bit better.
Absolutely. But he just doesn't do it. He just can't, if it's a confidence issue, but he just won't put the ball on the ground. It's kind of frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot of players like that on the Wolves, though. They're I say you can call them definitely a jump shooting team.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe that's part of the center issue. And I know Kevin Love, even his percentages are down. And I had one of my followers asking about, they're like, oh yeah, you know, his assist to turnover ratio is, you know, at a career best, but his percentages are down. What's up with that? Well, you go to Hoop Data, a site I love for stats, and anyone who loves basketball stats should be on. And he's taking more long twos than ever, more three-pointers than he has in his career. So those numbers are down a little bit. But, yeah, they really just don't go inside to the cell for a lot of jumpers, and I'm not sure if they just don't have a lot of back-to-the-basket guys that they can just feed in the post.
I think a key factor with Kevin Love, it's something they actually mentioned on ESPN about four times during the broadcast last night, Dan Shulman and Hubie Brown, talking about Kevin Love's weight loss. You think the lack of bulk has got to be a factor in his decision to set up more outside as opposed to posting up in the paint?
You know, yeah, I didn't think about that, but it definitely makes it tougher if you don't have as much weight to, you know, plant in, you know, to work down low. I think that's probably part of it.
You know, you think if Love wanted to work more in his inside game, he wouldn't have lost the weight. He would have tried to maintain the weight, maybe work on muscle tone.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I guess, kind of unintentional, but he just burned it off from working. Yeah, I don't know. I think he would definitely benefit probably from packing on a little muscle still.
All right, now we got to ask the big question. Don't want to be a homer. Trying to stay objective. I know we're fans, but how bad exactly of a business decision would it be for the Timberwolves to not sign Kevin Love to that contract extension before his deadline?
Not to an extension or not to the five-year?
What's the deadline for exactly? I mean, would you say that the deadline is for a five-year max extension? I don't know why you'd want to haggle if you're the Timberwolves over that 1 year at $19 million a year.
You know what? If that's what it takes to get him signed as soon as possible, do it. And I mean, I know they can only have, because of the CBA, have one guy with a five-year extension. Otherwise, you know, the next set of rookies can have a four.
But who else would you give the five-year to if not Kevin Love?
Well, this year, nobody, but Rubio down the road. But if it takes five, well, because you're not keeping Rubio if you don't have Love, most likely, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so I think you'd want to lock up Kevin Love now to the five if that's what it takes. If you get him for the four, great, but I think you need Love to keep Rubio long-term.
Which one's more valuable? I know it's a dreadful situation to think about.
Oh, man.
Which one gets the five, though? Which one is the higher priority?
You know, I mean, if it's like, if you take a first come, first serve, and Love is now first up, and Rubio, you know, is up in three, I think you just got to, if Love wants the five, and that's what it's going to take, I think you have to give Love the five, and then you figure out the deal with Rubio in 3 years.
He could get a four, though, right? Is that
you
how
can
it works?
Get a four. Yeah.
All right. Trying to pretend like we're David Kahn for a bit. We have to hit ourselves in the head with a rolling pin or a frying pan or something. I still don't forgive him for Stephen Curry.
You know, that was frustrating because then we saw it too with Wes Johnson over DeMarcus Cousins' pick.
Yeah.
Where just because they didn't want to work out here, you don't select them. And it's, you know, it sets a bad example for the rest of the league that, you know, the inmates kind of run the asylum and players don't get to choose where they go. I mean, if you want to draft them, they're going to play there.
You can always go to Foot Locker and work for $9 an hour if you don't like the team that drafts you.
Yeah, right. I mean, you tough it out for 3 years, and then you can leave.
I mean, it's just amazing on how far you can set a team back by whiffing on so many top five picks.
Oh, yeah. It's devastating.
All right, just one more thing. Before the season, I had said the Timberwolves were going to win 30 games. And you, cautious optimist, disagree with me so vehemently that I believe we made a wager of a Big Ten sub of the winner's choosing. Do you have any recollection of this wager?
I forgot about that. I don't know if I got that one.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if we officially agreed on the wager, so maybe I should just buy my own Big Ten sub right now.
we could agree on one.
Okay. Do you think they're going to make the 30 wins? Am I going to be proven right?
You know,
you still sticking to that guarded optimism of yours?
Man, I mean,
they're 7-8 now.
They're almost third of the way there. Not even, you know, a quarter through the season, or about a quarter through the season. It's, you know, it's a riskier bet for me than I thought it would be. I mean, I could see it now. I mean, we don't know how the divisional stuff will go, but, you know, I'm not sure I can safely stick to that. I'm not sure it's a safe bet for me.
All right, let's take the bet out of the equation, because I'm afraid you are of having to pay for a Big Ten sub from me. Do you think they can win 30?
Oh, I absolutely think they can win 30.
All right.
That's definitely in play.
All right, this is a great discussion. Derek James, basketball writer for 612 Sports. Got to read his stuff. He's an authority. What's your Twitter account so people can follow you online?
It's at Derek, D-E-R-E-K, 612. So Derek 612.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on with me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.